Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I've got my shades on because the sun is pretty extreme out here at this time of year in Phoenix, Arizona. But I just want to give you a quick Bible study on the mark of the beast. And I especially want to point out why so many people will fall for it and will receive the mark of the beast. You have to understand that the Bible makes it clear that the Antichrist is going to be very convincing. He's going to be so convincing that he would even deceive the elect if that were possible. But thank God it's not possible for any saved Christian to be duped by him, because we have the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. But many people all over the world will be deceived. He's going to be extremely convincing. And so I'm going to give you some insight as to why that is. Now, first of all, the idea of receiving a mark in the forehead is not something that the devil came up with. It actually is something that the Lord came up with, because the devil is a counterfeiter of that which the Lord does. So the first mention of this would be back in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." So there's a mention of a mark being placed in the forehead of those who are righteous in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. A couple verses later, the ones who have the mark are the ones that are not slain. Okay. Then if you fast forward to Revelation chapter 7, it says in verse 3, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So it's the servants of the true God there in chapter 7, verse 3. Actually, the 144,000 that are receiving a mark in their foreheads. So the devil's not stupid. He's going to use these type of verses to justify putting a mark in the forehead of those who worship him. He's impersonating the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the coming of the Messiah. He's claiming to be God in the flesh. And so he's going to counterfeit something that's found in Scripture, and he's going to use those verses to convince people. Listen to this. This is from Revelation 13, where the mark of the beast is implemented. And I'm going to show you the colossal difference between the mark of the beast and the mark that God is talking about in these scriptures. It says in Revelation 13, 16, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor," this is the Antichrist, "free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast," pay attention to that, "or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So the mark of the beast is either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, Jesus said, "I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you will receive." And that's a reference to the Antichrist, who will come in his own name. Now, listen to the very next verse, because we often read that famous Mark of the Beast passage in Revelation 13, 16 through 18. But listen to the very next verse, chapter 14, verse 1. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads." So this is again the 144,000 that we saw back in Revelation 7 that received a mark in their foreheads. And it says here that they have Christ's Father's name written in their foreheads. Okay, do you see the difference? The beast is claiming to be the Messiah. He's claiming to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what he's impersonating, and he has them put the mark of his name in their foreheads, whereas the true mark that goes on the 144,000 is the mark of his Father's name. Then in Revelation 22, this is reiterated when it says in verse 3, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Now, the significance of that verse is that in the new heaven and the new earth after the millennium, God the Father is going to directly rule and reign, unlike the millennium where it's the Son who's reigning, Jesus Christ who's reigning, according to 1 Corinthians 15. So we will not see God the Father's face until Revelation 22. That's when we will see his face and have his name in our foreheads. See, nobody has ever seen God the Father. The Bible says no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So we've seen the Son of God, who is also himself God, because of course the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all one God. These three are one. And so we have not seen God the Father. No one has ever seen God the Father except Jesus Christ. But no mortal man has ever seen God the Father and ever will see God the Father until after the millennium in Revelation 22, when we shall see his face and his name shall be in our foreheads. So consistently between Revelation 7 and 14 in regard to the 144,000 and in Revelation 22, it's the Father's name that is placed in the forehead eventually of the righteous. Whereas the Antichrist has the mark of his own name in the forehead, the mark of the beast, the name of the beast himself. Now you say, what does this matter? What's your point? Well, here's the point. This new heresy that's been going around, and it's even creeping into Baptist churches now. It started in 1913 with the Oneness Pentecostal movement, and now it's even starting to creep into Baptist and evangelical churches, known as Oneness Pentecostalism, Modalism, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter what you call it, okay? The label isn't what's important. The importance is that it teaches that the name of the Father is the same as the name of the Son, that there's no difference between those two names, okay? The whole movement started in 1913 with teaching that Jesus is the name of the Father, Jesus is the name of the Son, and Jesus is the name of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, if we baptize in the name of Jesus only, that covers the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's where this whole movement started. The whole Oneness Pentecostal movement, look it up, 1913, it had to do with baptizing in the name of Jesus only. Okay. The heretics that were in our church, that were thrown out of our church, you know, Tyler Baker and company. Tyler Baker said that when he went and started his church, he was going to say, when he baptized people, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that name is Jesus. Because he wanted to ease people into a Jesus-only baptism without freaking them out. Well, just that statement alone right there, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that name is Jesus, that's a false doctrine. The name of the Father is not Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus, okay? That's a oneness teaching. That's a modalist teaching when you say, oh, the name of the Father is Jesus, okay? Now, when the Antichrist comes, I'm not sure if he's actually going to go by the name of Jesus or if he's just going to go by the name of Yeshua, okay? Because that's a bogus, fake name never found in the New Testament. The New Testament consistently is written in Greek and uses the term Jesus, or in the original language would be Jesus, or some scholars would speculate that it was pronounced Jesus back then. But either way, however you pronounce it, Jesus, 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 whatever, that's the name of our Savior, okay? But when the Antichrist comes, he's going to come and say, well, my name is either Yeshua, or if he does go by Jesus, whatever he goes by. I think he's going to go by some kind of a Yahashua, Yeshua, whatever, because I believe the whole thing is going to be connected to a Hebrew roots kind of movement to bring in the Jews and bring together all religions. But the point is that the Antichrist is going to have to convince people that having the Father's name in their forehead is the same as having his name in their forehead. So he's going to have to teach a doctrine that says that the name of the Father is the same as the name of the Son, which is contrary to Scripture, because in Scripture, the name of the Father is not Jesus. That's only the name of the Son, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are three distinct persons that all make up one God. And that's why the Bible's careful to tell us not that the Lamb's name would be in their forehead, but that his Father's name would be in their forehead. So this goes to show how this Oneness Pentecostal movement, modalism that's creeping in now, can play a part in the end times. I mean, I already made another video where I explained how it's going to play a part in the end times, but this is just yet another layer of why the devil is doing this and why this strange doctrine is creeping in. We need to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, but the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Holy Ghost is not the Father. These three together collectively compose one God, but that one God is in three persons. That's the traditional doctrine of the Trinity. That's what we need to stand on and not try to compromise it and meet these oneness Pentecostals halfway. We need to stay strong on the traditional, biblical, tested view of the Trinity that every Baptist has believed in for hundreds and hundreds of years. And you know, the oneness Pentecostals, they've never been able to creep in since 1913. I don't understand how people could start letting them do it now. And it's clearly tied in with the end times when you realize that the mark of the beast is the name of that false Messiah going in the forehead, whereas the mark that God mentions in Revelation 14, Revelation 22, etc., is the name of the Father in the foreheads. God bless you. Have a great day. Mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. So there's a mention of a mark being placed in the forehead of those who are righteous in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. A couple verses later, the ones who have the mark are the ones that are not slain. Okay. Then if you fast forward to Revelation chapter 7, it says in verse 3, hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I've got my shades on because the sun is pretty extreme out here at this time of year in Phoenix, Arizona. But I just want to give you a quick Bible study on the mark of the beast. And I especially want to point out why so many people will fall for it and will receive the mark of the beast. You have to understand that the Bible makes it clear that the Antichrist is going to be very convincing. He's going to be so convincing that he would even deceive the elect if that were possible. But thank God it's not possible for any saved Christian to be duped by him, because we have the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. But many people all over the world will be deceived. He's going to be extremely convincing. And so I'm going to give you some insight as to why that is. Now, first of all, the idea of receiving a mark in the forehead is not something that the devil came up with. It actually is something that the Lord came up with, because the devil is a counterfeiter of that which the Lord does. So the first mention of this would be back in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So it's the servants of the true God there in chapter 7, verse 3, actually the 144,000 that are receiving a mark in their foreheads. So the devil's not stupid. He's going to use these type of verses to justify putting a mark in the foreheads.